So try to get that rhythm where we have the each couplet, there's a pause, you know, like between the first line and the second line, there's not a big pause, but then between the second line and the third line, there's a big pause. You can breathe at that time. It's like having a, what do you call it, choir practice. You know, everything should be in tune and on time and stuff. So, Titu, you have a question.
Yes, please. So, there is, on third verse, there is a statement saying, it is a hexagonal figure, the abode of the indwelling, predominated and predominating aspect of the Absolute. So, can you please elaborate on the predominated and predominating aspect?
That is Radharani and Krishna. The predominated is the Prakriti. And so the female. So she's enjoyed. And she's subservient, submissive. And the predominated is, so she's the energy, Shakti. And the predominating is the energetic. And he's the male principle. And he's the enjoyer. And the energetic, the origin of everything. So even though they're both really the same part of the same one absolute truth, that in order to enjoy bliss, they separate into two and have a personal exchange of love between them. So that's the original male and female. Then in this world, the male and female principles are represented in male and female bodies. But really, we are all jivas, with just external material bodies, which have these different... So we're all really female. That is, we're all really Krishna's energy, and we're supposed to be submissive to Krishna. Even though we play the role of, masculine role of husbands, fathers, you know, and so forth in the world. But ultimately, everyone is predominated by Krishna. So Radharani is our leader. She's the topmost predominated, the predominated aspect of the Absolute Truth. So she is not Jiva Tattva. She is, you know, what we call Shakti Tattva. She's identical. She's the internal potency of Krishna, or Lakini Shakti, pleasure potency. And but in different aspects, the internal potency as Yoga Maya, as you know, Lakshmi with Narayan, the consorts of the different Vishnu Tattva are all really subordinate to him, but equal to him in, like, they're not small. Jivas are small, but they're big, so they can never be in Maya. They are Maya. They're the internal Maya, and then Durga is the external Maya. Speaking of which, yes, sure.
You know, the internal potency of the Lord is described as Yoga Maya, and the external potency is described as Mahamaya, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And Durga Devi is described as Yoga Maya in certain texts that I've read. But then here, it's described. She's described as Mahamaya, right? Mm-hmm. Because Lord Shiva, Maheshwara, consorts with her, mm-hmm. right? So it's a little confusing for me. Is Durga the yoga potency, the internal potency of the Lord, or is she the separated material potency of the Lord, which is Mahamaya?
She is the presiding deity of the separated material potency, presiding deity of the material world. And it's good that you asked this question. It was a great segue because we were just going to read text 44 and the purport. At the end of that purport, you'll see that there's an eternal Durga whose shadow is the Durga of this world. And, you know, just like Lakshmi also has her... Lakshmi and Saraswati are there as the goddesses of mundane wealth and mundane education. But really, Lakshmi and Saraswati are transcendental, you know, pure devotees. And Durga is also pure devotee, but she's the predominating deity of the mundane principle. So she's Mahamaya. She is Mahamaya. But she has her form in the spiritual world as well. And we'll just be reading that now. If you turn to text 44. Srishti Stiti Pralaya Sadhana Shakti Reka Chayeva Yasya Bhuvanani Bhiparti Durga Ichanu Rupam Apiyasya Chacheshtate Sa Govindam Adipurushang Tamahang Pajami. Srishti, creation, Stiti, preservation, Pralaya and destruction, Sadhana, the agency, Shaktihi, potency, Eka, one, Chaya, the shadow, Eva, like, Yasya, of whom, Bhuvanani, the mundane world, Bibharti, maintains, Durga, Icha, the will, Anurupam, in accordance with, Api, certainly, Yasya, of whom, Cha, and, Cheshtate, conducts herself, Sa, she, Govindam, Govinda, Adi Purusham, the original person, Tam, him, aham, I, Bhajami, worship. Translation, the external potency Maya, who is of the nature of the shadow of the Chit potency, is worshipped by all people as Durga, the creating, preserving, and destroying agency of this mundane world. I adore the primeval Lord Govinda, in accordance with whose will Durga conducts herself. Purport, the aforesaid presiding deity of Devi Dhamma is being described. The world in which Brahma takes his stand and hymns the Lord of Gokloka is Devi Dhamma, consisting of the 14 worlds, and Durga is its presiding deity. She is 10-armed, representing the 10-fold fruitive activities. She rides on the lion, representing her heroic prowess. She tramples down Mahishasura, representing the subduer of vices. She is the mother of two sons, Kartikeya and Ganesha, representing beauty and success. She is placed between Lakshmi and Saraswati, representing mundane opulence and mundane knowledge. She is armed with the 20 weapons, representing the various pious activities enjoined by the Vedas for suppression of vices. She holds the snake, representing the beauty of destructive time. Such is Durga, possessing all these manifold forms. Yoga Maya is like Krishna can use, Srila Prabhupada often says, Krishna can use his, just like a heating and air conditioning specialist uses the same energy, electricity, to make an air conditioner run or make a heater run. And he has the same energy, but he can make it use both ways. So his Yoga Maya is his potency.
Actually, in last paragraph, it said there is a spiritual
Durga. Yes, yeah, we'll be reading that. So he can also, so his chit potency, his internal potency, he can also use her when there's need arises for fulfilling the need for delusion of the jivas who want to forget him. Then he can manifest his internal potency can be manifested as her shadow, the chit potency, the Mahamaya potency. So he has these different potencies, and they can actually transform and expand. Earlier here, it was discussed how she makes her appearance out of. Let's see, what's the verse that Krishna never consorts with his illusory energy. But her connection is not entirely cut off from. That's the verse 7. And then in verse 8, he says, Rama Devi, the spiritual chit potency, beloved consort of the Supreme Lord, is the regulatrix of all entities. The divine plenary portion of Krishna creates the mundane world. At creation, there appears a halo. Okay, then it says, the conceiving potency in regard to mundane creation makes her appearance out of the supreme regulatrix. She is Maya, the limited, non-absolute, upper potency. She makes her appearance out of Radharani, out of the internal energy. But anyway, let's go on. Such is Durga, possessing all these manifold forms. Durga is possessed of Durga, which it means a prison house. When jivas, begotten of the marginal potency, tatastha shakti, forget the service of Krishna, They are confined in the mundane prison house, the citadel of Durga. The wheel of karma is the instrument of punishment at this place. The work of purifying these penalized jivas is the duty devolved upon Durga. She is incessantly engaged in discharging the same by the will of Govinda. When, luckily, the forgetfulness of Govinda on the part of imprisoned jivas is remarked by them, by coming in contact with self-realized souls, and their natural aptitude for the loving service of Krishna is aroused, Durga herself then becomes the agency of their deliverance by the will of Govinda. So it behooves everybody to obtain the guileless grace of Durga, the mistress of this prison house, by propitiating her with the selfless service of Krishna. The boons received from Durga in the shape of wealth, property, recovery from illness, of wife and sons, should be realized as the deluding kindness of Durga. The mundane psychical jubilations of Dasha Mahavidya, the ten goddesses or forms of Durga, are elaborated for the delusion of the fettered souls of this world. Jiva is a spiritual atomic part of Krishna. When he forgets his service of Krishna, he is at once deflected by the attracting power of Maya in this world, who throws him into the whirlpool of mundane fruitive activity, karma, by confining him in a gross body constituted by the five material elements, their five attributes and 11 senses, resembling the garb of a prisoner. In this whirlpool, Jiva has experience of happiness and miseries, heaven and hell. Besides this, there is a subtle body consisting of the mind, intelligence, and ego inside the gross body. By means of the subtle body, the jiva forsakes one gross body and takes recourse to another. The jiva cannot get rid of the subtle body full of nescience and evil desires unless and until he is liberated. On getting rid of the subtle body, he bathes in the viraja and goes up to Haridhama. Such are the duties performed by Durga in accordance with the will of Govinda. In the Bhagavata shloka, Vilajyamanaya Durdhiyaha, the relationship between Durga and the conditioned souls has been described. All right, that's homework, unless it's in this book, which I don't think it is, but we can try it out in this shloka book. But our homework is, let's see, first of all, Vilajyamanaya. Our homework is to go find that verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Those who have a Veda-based program can easily find it. No. If it's the first line of a verse, it's the verse doesn't appear in this shloka book. In the Bhagavata shloka, Vilajyamanaya Durdhiyaha, the relationship between Durga and the conditioned souls has been described. Durga, worshipped by the people of this mundane world, is the Durga described above. But the spiritual Durga, mentioned in the mantra, which is the outer covering of the spiritual realm of the Supreme Lord, is the eternal maidservant of Krishna and is therefore the transcendental reality whose shadow, the Durga of this world, functions in this mundane world as her maidservant. Okay? Make sense? Yeah. And then the microphone.
Normally when we talk about these things, the person who is acting as a shadow, for example, or someone who is expansion of some other in a person, they act like two different persons. So in this case, although the shadow Durga is an expansion of the original Durga, does she have her own personality? In the sense, you know, she's a different person by herself, or she thinks, you know, she's the same as the original Durga?
Interesting. We have all these personalities, and they have their own individual qualities and pastimes, and yet the reality of these relationships has to be understood as underneath it all. So there's tattva. We were talking about this more recently. There's tattva, and then there's lila. And in the lila, sometimes in order for it to go correctly and everything, there's some forgetfulness of what There shouldn't be, actually. We should understand what's really going on, what's the really... But to go on, just like devotees can become nervous that, Krishna's fighting a demon. Maybe the demon is getting the upper hand. Krishna dropped his mace, oh no. But if we remember that, Krishna is the source of the demon, and he's the source of everything, and he can never be in any trouble. But in order for us to have the experience the rasa and everything, then Yoga Maya lets us enter into that mood by forgetting exactly, who Krishna is and everything. But as to this question, my understanding is that these great devotees like Durga, they know who they are, mm-hmm. and they know, they're not. She's not bewildered, because she is the bewildering energy. So only the jivas can be bewildered. She's not really bewildered. She knows who she is. Nevertheless, even the eternally liberated souls like Mother Yashoda can be forgetful of Krishna's position as the source of everything in order to facilitate the exchange of love, which pleases Krishna even more, that she thinks she has to punish him to make him grow up to be a good boy.
Yeah. But in this case, if we are talking about the expansion of the same person, for example, Krishna also expands into Radharani, for example, the Jivatattvas, but still we are all individuals. We are different from Krishna at the same time. In that sense, the Shadow Durga is the same as well as different at the same time, or both are like, Krishna also expands as a Vishnu. In that case, both are the same person. So my question is, are these like, they have the same person, or are like a Bhinna expansion, in the sense, it's an expansion, but it's not the same person anymore?
Well, there's different ways, different kinds of expansion. There's Bhinna, like Jivas, and there's Swangsha expansions, who are completely plenary expansions, or plenary portions, we say. But everyone, in quality, we're all one. So the Mayavadis say, oh, everything is just one, and therefore there's no need to worship or serve, because you yourself are God, you can become God, or something like that. So then they haven't completely understood. They have a poor fund of knowledge, and they end up saying so many offensive things. But we really are one, in one sense. We are eternal spiritual energy. Inert, the Bhinna Prakriti, like fire, water, air, earth, ether, these elements, they don't have consciousness, right? They're inert substance. But we jivas, we have consciousness. We are chit. We belong to the chit potency, although we are not the whole chit potency. We're little small particles. Therefore, we have the propensity, the ability to be covered. If we misuse our independence, we can be covered. Krishna has full independence, and because we have the same qualities as him, we have minute independence. If it's misused, then immediately we're sent to be bewildered and deluded by Durga, and to think ourselves as the enjoyers, controllers, and lords of the unconscious chit potency. I mean, unconscious achit, bhinna prakriti. But actually, although we're thinking ourselves as Lord, this is delusion, because we're always experiencing defeat. Eventually, we may be intoxicated a little bit. Oh, now I'm really winning, But then later, under the course of time, everything material, including our own false conception of ourself, our material body, deteriorates and dies, and dissolves. Disappears, right? Everything in material energy is, what does it say? Srishti, Stiti, Pralaya. So there's creation, maintenance, and destruction going on. And so there's no reality there. My understanding is that she's aware of who she is, and therefore if she's the shadow of the Durga that is on the outskirts of the spiritual world, she's aware of that also. But she may, in order to perform some lila, she may forget that. No, but it's not her. If she does forget it, her forgetfulness is a lot like our forgetfulness of being bewildered by material energy and having to undergo karma and reincarnation and samsara and stuff. But it may be in order to make the pastimes go that yoga maya allows her to forget that. Or Krishna allows her to forget.
Forgetful that. In the sense, that means actually the Durga of this world is the expansion of the same kind of expansion as the same tattva of expansion as the original Durga in the spiritual world, not like a vipinna expansion. In that sense, in both are the same persons, they have the same identity.
Yeah, she's not a jiva.
Yeah.
Now, I've heard that in Prabhupada's books, that sometimes, for example, sometimes Lord Brahma is a jiva who's a pure devotee functioning as Lord Brahma, and then sometimes when there's no jiva to function in a universe that's qualified as Brahma, then Vishnu himself will expand himself and act as Brahma for that universe. And I've also heard that there's a demigod named Vishnu also who has some it's in the Bhagavad Gita purport in the 10th canto, 10th chapter, describing the Vibhuti expansions of the Lord, all the different qualities and stuff. But I don't think you'll find it it's in a purport. But that is that, you know, Lakshmi is internal potency. She's not a jiva. And of course, Vishnu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He's not a jiva. He's the Swangsha expansion. There are Purusha avatars, Mahavishnu, Kshiradakshay Vishnu, Garbhadakshay Vishnu. There are Guna avatars, you know, Brahma Vishnu Shiva. There are, you know, Lila avatars like Lord Rama, Lord Nrisimhadev, Lord Vamana. And there's Manvantaras, the different Manus. And the Manus are usually Jivas also, but they're pure devotees. But these are all, you know, just like in the 10th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, we're saying that, you know, of the fishes, you know, the shark, or, you know, the great power, or the crocodile, the great powerful fish, that's Krishna. It's a manifestation of Krishna, because anything that's beautiful and glorious and majestic and opulent is just a manifestation of a spark of his energy. We can understand that it represents him. And there may be a time that a jiva serves a function as a goddess of fortune, or that a jiva serves a function, as some demigod like that. But actually, we understand, and this is a distinction between Lord Chaitanya's Siddhanta also and some of the other Vaishnava Sampradayas, that we understand that Lakshmi Devi, Radharani, is not a jiva, you know, but is actually Shakti, energy of Krishna. There's the Pancha Tattva, five tattvas. So there's God in the form of his devotee, Lord Chaitanya, and then his expansion, Lord Nityananda, who's the same as Balaram, and he's the Guru Tattva. He's the first, the original expansion. And then
incarnation.
The incarnation at Advaita. So from Balaram comes Sankarshan and these different quadruple expansions that in different levels of spiritual and material creation. This is all explained by Lord Chaitanya to Sanatana Goswami in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And then the incarnations are coming through the Purusha avatars. So Advaitacharya represents these incarnations who come in the world and perform different acts, the different avatars, so that includes the Purusha avatars and the Lila avatars. And then there's the Shakti, which is, as we're discussing now, this is the internal potency is Radharani, Lakshmi, and then in this material world, as the predominating deity, the wife of Lord Shiva, the predominating deity of the mundane universe, which is imbued with threefold deluding qualities of the or binding qualities of material nature, then she appears as Durga, and the relationship of Durga to Shiva, and the relationship of Shiva to Vishnu, which is described in the next verse in Brahma Samhita, is a technical subject, and then the different expansions of, like, he's talking here about the 10 different forms of Durga that are the 10 goddesses or forms of Durga are elaborated for the delusion of fettered souls in this world. So there are these different forms, and they have different pastimes, like the subduing of the Mahishasura and so forth. And in those pastimes, they may act in an individual specific capacity. Just like there's Parvati, there's Sati, there's different forms of
Lord Shiva. Is Durga, right?
Yeah. She's in a particular pastime, she's the daughter of the Himalayas. So there, so is Sati Durga, but in a different. But she's the daughter of Daksha. So it's the same person, but appearing in different, just like different avatars. Goes on. Go ahead.
And Durga herself looks like she expands into many other shaktis, like for example, Kali. And there are many, more than 100 of them, I think, in different places.
My understanding is that those are the names of Durga. See, just like...
Microphone.
My understanding, and I may be wrong, please correct me, that Durga also has many names. You know, Parvati being one, Kali being another, and so on. Is that correct, or is that correct understanding? Or
well, she has different names, but she also has different forms and different pastimes, and even different moods.
Oh, I see.
You know,
so each pastime, each mood, has a different name of the same entity, Durga. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. I have one more question, Prabhuji. You know,
also, Prabhu, if you have some comments or realization, or you know, because I could use some help. Go ahead, Balaram Chandra, Prabhu, right? Baladev, what is your new name?
Balaram Chandra.
Balaram Chandra. Okay.
So, Prabhuji, Durga is from the chit potency of the Lord. She's from Ramadevi, right?
She's the nature of the shadow of the chit potency.
In the material world.
Yeah.
But in the spiritual domain, she is part of the chit potency, right? In the spiritual domain. Now, when she comes to the material domain, she comes as a shadow, right? Of this spiritual Durga.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we read. So, she is... She understands her position. I mean, she's not forgetful of her position because she's the illusory energy. So how can she be an illusion, right? I mean, so if she's the illusory energy and she is consort of Lord Shiva, who expands from Mahavishnu, as described here. The question I have, Prabhuji, is in the Gita Mahatmya, Lord Shiva is describing the beauty of Bhagavad Gita and the effect of each chapter, you know, that the benefits of mm-hmm. reading each chapter, right? But it's a dialogue that is happening between Parvati, Durga, mm-hmm. and Lord Shiva. So my question is, why is she asking him these questions when she is the internal potency of the Lord and she's fully aware of her position? So if she's fully aware of her position, she's fully aware of all the activities that are happening, right? So why this dialogue, you know, why this question and answer session between Shiva and Parvati in the Gita?
Well, you could ask the same thing. Why is Parikshit Maharaj asking Shukadev Goswami? And because he's a pure devotee already. But this is the pastime, that they set the example of how the guru instructs the disciple and enlightens the disciple, and they're actually experiencing enlightenment while it's going on. Even a disciple who knows everything asks questions for the sake of strictness and for the sake of doing devotional service. Why does anyone do anything? If you're in illusion, you do everything under the spell of Maya, karma, trying to enjoy your senses. But if you're a transcendental liberated person, it doesn't mean you stop acting, but it means you act for the pleasure of Krishna according to the different kinds of service you want to do. And in this case, the lila is that Parvati is becoming enlightened about the glories of Bhagavad Gita by Lord Shiva. And both Parvati and Lord Shiva are enjoying this conversation very much. And similarly, when Srimad Bhagavatam is discussed, there should be a qualified questioner as well as a qualified speaker, and then the audience also. All three benefit. So even if the speaker is already perfectly enlightened, the questioner is perfectly enlightened, but there's a great beneficial performance of these devotees who are free from material desires still discussing the glories of Krishna.
Prabhuji, one more
question. Also, before you go to your next question, I wanted to say that as far as these questions about the spiritual Durga in the spiritual world, the end of the very last part of the paragraph is a citation that directs us to look at the purport for Shloka 3. Yeah. So we could do that too, but have your next question.
Maybe I'm digressing here a little bit, but...
We love digression.
So, you know, Prabhuji, I was just going, just reviewing Ramayana recently, and I wasn't reading this Ramayana book, but I was actually watching the Ramayana, series that were taken in India by, forget his name, but Ramanand Sagar. Mm-hmm. There was a scene. I don't know if this is authentic or not, because sometimes you have to be careful.
Yes, you do have to be careful.
Yeah, because whether they're really it's somebody's imagination or it's actually described as fact, as in the slokas or in the Puranas, right? But there's this instance where Hanuman just returns from Lanka, after seeing Sita Devi and creating mayhem there. And he comes and gives the good news to Sri Ramchandra that he's discovered where Sita is, and he relates his whole experience to Sri Ramchandra. Sri Ramchandra was, very elated, and the scene that is described in the movie or in this TV series is that Lord Ramchandra says, "I'm indebted to you for generations, mm-hmm. for the seva that you have done for me." And Hanuman is totally, emotional, and he says, "Prabhu, how can you be indebted to me? I'm your sevak, I'm your servitor." And he falls at Lord Ramchandra's feet and asks him for one boon, that you'll allow me to be your servitor, forever.
Mm-hmm.
And so Sri Ramchandra accepts, and in the process he rubs, using his left hand, he rubs Hanuman's head, a couple of scenes. And what is depicted is that Lord Shiva is in Kailash with Parvati, and he's observing all this as well. And he starts feeling like the Lord is touching Shiva's head,
Mm-hmm.
And so, but the scene is Parvati is unaware of that, even though she's sitting next to him, and Shiva is kind of, his emotions are, he's startled and he's pleased that he's feeling the Lord touching his head. Lord was touching Hanuman's head, but Shiva is feeling like the Lord is touching his head, and I think I know the reason why. But the thing that I'm trying to get at here is Parvati is Durga Devi. I'm just still trying to get that. Mm-hmm. And she is the Lord's internal potency. And in the material world, she comes as a shadow of that potency, right? But she's unaware. Even though she is, the presiding deity of this entire material universe. And so as a presiding deity, you're aware of everything that's happening in this material universe. And so even though the Lord comes as Ramchandra to do his pastimes, and he has all these other devotees, Hanuman, who's a form of Shiva, performing the pastimes, The question I have in regards to this discussion we're having this morning is, how come she's unaware?
Or she's unaware that Shiva's feeling the Lord's hand.
Yes, Lord's hand. And rubbing. And then she asks him, well, what's happening, Lord? And you know, and he says, no, I just felt like the Lord was touching me. So then she says, oh, I'm bewildered by the relationship between you and Sri Ramchandra. And it's very bewildering for me. I mean, mm-hmm. because she calls him Prabhu, and Shiva calls the Lord Prabhu, and in some of the dialogues, Sri Ramchandra also calls Shiva Prabhu. So she's saying, I'm confused, who's who? And then so Shiva explains that no, I always chant the names of Rama, But the question I'm trying to get at is, if she is the regulating principle in this material universe, and